As you can see, that was the casting appeal for the film. What you saw there was a 35mm print. We've got the full print of the film as well in 35mm from the BFI, and it's actually the 2006 restoration that was sponsored by the David Lean Foundation, who you know have supported us in the past. It's my very great pleasure to introduce the film historian and filmmaker Kevin Brownlow, who's going to come and tell you a bit about that casting appeal and about the film itself. He will be staying for a Q&A afterwards, so if you want to stop after the film and take part in that, that would be very nice. Thank you very much.
When that appeal was shown in the Regent Cinema, Crowborough, in 1948, my parents were in the audience, and my mother thought, well, I was perfect casting. I looked half starved, and thanks to wartime rationing, and she submitted my name, and I would have thought, in retrospect, that my name, Brownlow, would have had some resonance from people working on Oliver Twist. And what I can't believe is I wasn't even invited to the audition with 1,500 boys went to that audition, and I still smart that I wasn't one of them. Anyhow, the boy that got the part came from my school. It gets more and more humiliating. Now, you're sitting in the David Lean Cinema on the 25th anniversary of his death, and I can't believe it's that long ago. I spent hours and hours interviewing him, and it was the most pleasurable experience you could imagine. He was not only very impressive, because he looked like a Roman emperor, and he had the command charisma of a general, but he was absolutely charming, the most charming man you could imagine. And I'm not surprised he had as many wives as Henry VIII. And also deeply devoted to the cinema. And as far as I'm concerned, because I'm a silent film specialist, he was still regarded himself as a man of the silent era. So I asked him, obviously, about this film and why I wasn't chosen for the part. And he told me that Noel Coward said to him, because he'd made two extremely successful films from Noel Coward plays, never come out of the same hole twice. And he had tried to find a fresh subject after doing Great Expectations, which had been a tremendous success. And he felt guilty. He felt it was rather feeble to go for another Dickens film. But his wife, Kay Walsh, who appears in it, tried hard to dissuade him. But he was a man who didn't read very much. He was self-educated, as far as it goes. I mean, he did go to a Quaker public school, but I don't think he paid attention. I think he was thinking of movies. And he read Oliver Twist, and he was absolutely overwhelmed by it. So there was no argument. He was going to make this picture, and he worked on the script with Stanley Haynes, and he had enormous difficulty with the beginning. Now, I'm sure you've all just finished Oliver Twist before you came here, and you will remember the opening, but I'll just give you a phrase from it. Try and film this. And in this workhouse was born on a day and date which I need not trouble myself to recall, inasmuch as it can be of no possible consequence to the reader. You know, it goes on like that. You can't film that. And the two of them thrashed it out. They even sat on Brighton Pier and tried to thrash it out, and they just couldn't come up with a satisfactory opening. Enter Kay Walsh. And on a couple of pieces of paper, which she handed to David Lean, was the answer. And he said, good God, where did you get this? Faith. She said, from sitting in a flea pit at 3 and 4 years old. And my theory is, she was born in 1917. The year before, Oliver Twist had been made in America, and it starred a girl called Marie Doro as Oliver Twist, but it had been an artistic triumph, and I'm sure it was reissued in the teens. And Kay Walsh told me that she came from a very poor Irish family in Chelsea, of all places, the slums of Chelsea, as they were then, now million pound houses. And the grandmother used to go to the pub, but she was in charge of Kay, and she'd dump her in the cinema. And she would spend all the evening watching whatever was on. And I can't help thinking, is this the way the 1916 Oliver Twist opened? We'll never know, really, because it's a lost film. But it would be fabulous if she had remembered that so strongly and passed it on inadvertently and unknowingly to David. Now, that sequence was a storm, and it was the only appearance of Oliver's mother, played by Josephine Stewart. But David loved the idea, above all, of a fellow in the audience about to light a cigarette, and he's so fascinated by what's going on the screen, he doesn't actually light it. And that was the sort of sequence that he wanted to start the picture with, and he achieved it absolutely brilliantly. And Kay Walsh also found the Artful Dodger. She was working on Peter Ustinov's Vice Versa and met a kid called Anthony Newley. I'm sure you'll remember him. Now, Robert Newton, though, is Sykes. Well, he had a reputation for drunken behavior. And David Lean, oddly enough, couldn't stand drunks being a Quaker. And yet he absolutely loved Robert Newton. And I've no doubt that that performance was the result of the relationship between the two of them. Newton knew that David Lean thought he was fabulous. And Robert Donat wanted the role. I can't imagine Robert Donat as Sykes, and luckily didn't get it. But he was tested at the same time as Alec Guinness, and Robert Newton was rejected. And Alec Guinness, my God. David Lean thought that Alec Guinness was less likely to play, was less right for the Fagin part than if Donat had asked for it. He was small and insignificant. I remember this was what, despite his excellent acting ability, was what David thought of him before. Transparently lightweight, he said. But Alec Guinness used to play Fagin at school. They used to put up a sheet, and with a strong light, he would do shadow plays of all sorts of characters. And one of his most popular was Fagin, so he was already familiar with the part. And when he asked David Lean, you know, I'd like to test for it, David Lean's reaction was, you must be out of your mind. Very encouraging. But after a long period with the makeup man, Stuart Freeborn, he came on the set and David Lean was staggered, as any of us would have been, if you think of what he looks like on the picture. Well, it's based on Crookshank, but this is 1948, and there was an enormous amount of anger that it was an anti-Semitic image that was used, something out of Dr. Goebbels' Der Stürmer. But it's, first of all, David Lean said, I was brought up a Quaker, and I had no experience with anti-Semitism whatsoever, which I'm sure is perfectly true, but he was in a film industry and he must have experienced it. And anyhow, there was tremendous, tremendous trouble over it, especially in America, where it was banned for a time. So the boy they got for the role, the son of an old friend of David's, a writer called Jack Davis. He said he was, he always listened to Dick Barton's special agent when he was on holiday in the evenings. And in the middle of one of these, he was asked by his father, would you like to be in a film? And he'd only seen two films in his life, cowboy films. He imagined he'd be galloping around shooting Indians. And he said that David Lean was unfailingly nice, unfailingly courteous, and he would often shoot the rehearsal when the boy didn't realize he was being filmed. And David felt that with children, you should not direct but suggest. And at one point, the boy has to faint in the courtroom, and David spoke to him very quietly about what he must be feeling like, and suddenly he dropped to the floor in front of him. And everybody thought he'd fainted, but he told me, no, 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 I hadn't fainted. He was talking about being a rag doll, and I just went down like a rag doll. But he was obviously ideal for the role. There were three heroes on this picture, apart from David and the boy and the cast. One was Guy Green, who became a director later on, but was a brilliant cameraman, able to recreate the lighting of the silent German expressionist films. And John Bryan, who adopted the same silent film effects that the Germans had of forced perspective, and Jack Harris, the editor. They were all, they all should have got Oscars. And I became famous overnight at my boarding school, which, believe it or not, showed films on every third Sunday in the winter. And one of them was the 1933 version of Oliver Twist with Dickie Moore, who has just died, strangely enough. And when my name came up on the screen, the whole audience looked round at me, and I couldn't believe it. But Mr. Brownlow was played very sympathetically, and I was very grateful to him indeed. Now, in the United States, the picture, having run into this anti-Semitic problem, didn't get shown until 1950. And the cuts that they insisted on did make, according to David Lean, it did make Fagin into an anti-Semitic character because it took out all the humor and all the characterization. In Germany, when the picture was shown in Berlin, there a group of displaced persons, as they called them then, made a protest which went actually into the cinema and terrified the audience. And so they brought the police out. And ironically, it was the same police that had been there during the war. And they drew their truncheons and beat up the protesters, who, of course, were Jewish. So it was a very unpleasant experience for everybody concerned. However, when the picture came out, it got rather strange reviews in England. They said the best bits are wonderful and David Lean, and the worst bits are Charles Dickens. I don't understand that at all. But it's become one of the classics of British cinema, and I don't know how many people here, how many people have seen this before? Oh, very good. Then you're in safe hands.